I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part. It is time to become a part.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I think we've got a show jam-packed with information, as usual, this evening. And we're going to be continuing to do our connecting with Atlantis and reality creation and Andara crystals and some yogic techniques and some blockbuster news about Earth's Schumann resonance. But before we get into all that, in our usual way, we will do the Hari Om mantra, but I want to give a little bit of an explanation about why that's so. Because for most people, they're not really aware that Japa Yoga is a major branch of yoga. And yoga, as we define it on ET Yoga, is union of you and your higher self. That's the real meaning of yoga. And integral yoga, as taught by Sri Swami Sachidananda, contains the following branches: Raja Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Hatha Yoga, and Japa Yoga. Japa Yoga meaning repetition of mantra. And it's sort of like sounding a tuning fork and then adjusting to that frequency. And if you do mantras, which are very powerful, you'll find that the most negative frequencies in you disappear. And also interesting to note is that Om is the first and foremost of all mantras, and it's the sound of cosmic energy, and it contains all the sounds in itself. And the spiritual efficacy of Om is heard not by the ears, but by the heart. And it surcharges the innermost being of a person with vibrations of the highest reality. And all galaxies, including ours, are rotating, and the sound they make is Om. And the Anuswaram, or that nasal sound, that humming sound, boosts the production of nitric oxide in the body. And this was known to Indians and documented more than 7,000 years ago. Om also opens up quantum tunneling, where the wormholes do not have a restriction of speed of light. And the sounds of this universe are contained in energy, frequency, and vibration. And if you make the sound of Om in front of a drop of liquid, it will transform itself into a Sri Yantra, which is a very specific visual form, which is symmetrical and also holographic in that every bit of it contains all of it. And the Sri Yantra was revealed to Maharishis with 12-strand DNA and king-sized pineal glands more than 8,000 BC. So there's a lot more to this little Japa Yoga than meets the eye. And I wanted to give that explanation, especially for those new listeners. And we're now going to hear about a six-minute clip of Sri Swami Sachidananda leading us in a Japa Yoga Hari Om mantra meditation. So if the guys in the booth would play that now, that'd be great.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari, Hari, Hari. Hari Om, Hari Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
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 Hari Hari Hari
Om. Hari 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 Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Hari Hari
Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Hari Hari
Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Hari Hari
Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Hari Hari
Om. Hari 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 Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Hari Hari
Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Hari
Hari Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari 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 Om. Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om Hari Om Hari
Om Hari 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 Om. Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Hari
Om. Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari
Om. Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Om.
Hari Om.
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om. Om Hari 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 Om.
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om. Om Hari 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 Om. Om Hari Om Hari Om. Om Hari Om Hari Om. Om Hari 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 Om. Om Hari Om Hari Om. Om Hari 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 Om. Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari Om, Hari Hari Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari Hari Om.
Hari
Oh.
Yes, that was Sri Swami Satchidananda, a clip from back in the 1970s of him leading a Hari Om Japa meditation. And I should also point out that at the very end there, when you hear the word Shanti, Shanti means peace. I'd like to now give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes and, although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And if you're a longtime listener of ET Yoga, you'll also know that I applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical as much as humanly possible in the light of becoming more self-empowered and independent and sovereign. And I'd also at this time like to give my appreciation and gratitude to the listeners of ET Yoga just for being you. Because as Bashar would say, each of us is making the maximum difference in this world already just by being here. And when you happen to be doing something that you love and other people notice that, they just become aware of the difference that you're already making. And in that light, I like to present this program with information that helps people in a self-empowering way on their spiritual journey. That's basically what ET Yoga is all about. And those different branches of yoga that are taught by the integral yoga method are all related to the goal of self-realization. And that's the first thing I wanted to talk about a little bit tonight, is because what I'm really noticing out in the world and surfing the net is that there's lots of ideas out there about, you know, reality creation and law of attraction, and there's all kinds of information and focus on extraterrestrials and events that are happening or supposed to happen. But what we're not hearing very much of is the whole concept about self-realization. And I want to make sure that I don't fall into that trap on the ET Yoga show, because we do talk about all those other issues as well and make comments. But at the same time, I don't want us to lose sight of the goal, which is self-realization. And in the spiritual journey, the first thing that happens would be the awareness of higher levels of consciousness and that you have the ability to attain them. That would be the true baptism. So that awareness is the start of the spiritual journey. And of course, where does the journey end up? In true yoga, or union of you and your higher self. Now, when we listen to people talk like Muji, M-O-O-J-I, or you go to Sri Ramana Maharshi and listen to his teachings, when you listen to Paramahansa Yogananda, or you listen to Sri Swami Satchidananda, I mean, you're going to hear the bulk of the information all about self-realization, thus Self-Realization Fellowship. Same with Baba Ram Dass in the old days, all about self-realization and spreading the word that that possibility exists. And I really think that sometimes we can get, you know, lost into lots of other topics, especially in reality creation, because in a sense, if you abdicate your ability to do reality creation, so someone else is probably manipulating and creating your reality for you, and thus creating a kind of tyranny. And that's certainly a message that comes forth from the Pleiadians as channeled through Barbara Marciniak. I'd like to also mention a technique that I've used in the past with respect to dealing with anger. And we're going to show how this kind of spreads out into other areas as well. But when I first started on my spiritual journey, I used to keep a notebook of when I got angry. And actually, it was way more often than I thought. And it's also fairly obvious when you start a spiritual journey that all the energy that you need to have awareness during the day, you can lose it all in 10 minutes of anger. So, you know, anger is a big issue in our world today. And I thought I'd take a few minutes to share with you some effective techniques that I think have really benefited me over the course of time. And, of course, some of that information that benefited me came from Sri Swami Satchidananda, who was very, very big on keeping your peace. And he used to say that if you lose your peace, you're of no use to yourself or anybody else. And keeping your peace was always paramount in my spiritual journey. And it became, you know, to the point where even starting to lose your peace starts waking you up to the fact that you're losing it. It's almost kind of like a candle flame that burns, and it's a place in you that's always peaceful. It's that I am presence, if you like. And this relates also to some other authors who have talked about the concept of developing a witness or an awareness, an inner presence, if you like, actually in books by P.D. Uspensky, one of them called In Search of the Miraculous. He talks about developing a witness, as well as in the books The Fourth Way, by Gurdjieff, and even the old Baba Ram Das book, Be Here Now, Now Be Here, talked about developing a witness. And what a witness does, it really assists you in many ways, because one of the things you'll find is that when you are really angry, you are lost in the thoughts of being those angry thoughts. And by developing a witness, you start to become aware of those angry thoughts. So you start identifying with the awareness as opposed to being lost in the thought of anger. And what you find when you do that technique is as soon as you become aware that you're being angry, the anger starts to lose power. So, for example, someone calls you a negative name and your immediate response is to call them a negative name back. A few hundred takes later, they call you the negative name and you become aware of it, but you still want to call them a negative name back. And then a few hundred takes after that, they call you a negative name and it doesn't even bother you, and you then have choice. You have a choice whether to say something or not say something. That's kind of the process. And in the old days, they used to say nobody else can make you angry, and you have to basically choose it, because at that point, you're making a choice. And that's a technique that can be very, very useful, even dealing with other types of issues. For example, if you're talking about habit, I know Bashar used to say that, you know, we think of a habit as something that we're aware that we continually keep doing. But in Bashar's civilization, the habit, once you become aware of the habit, it's the end process. Because in his society, once you become aware you have a habit, after that, it's a choice. And interestingly enough, when you become aware that you have the habit at that moment, it doesn't have power over you. So that's a perfect time for you to reprogram information. And it's also a viable tool, I think, in terms of like dealing with fear. Fear can be likened to playing a piano and then one of the keys is out of tune. It's something that's kind of yelling at you saying, hey, this area needs attention. And if it needs attention, then you can put awareness to that first, and you can just hang with that energy, and eventually you can start to analyze it and see where it comes from, throw light on it, see if it's valid or not, and then sometimes you can make decisions and adjustments based on that awareness alone. And in fact, I've also used as a guide stone the fact that all beliefs that cause negative emotions are erroneous, and all erroneous beliefs are based in fear, so therefore all negative emotions are also based in fear. And I'm going to repeat that one because I think it's worth repeating. All beliefs that cause negative emotions are erroneous, and all erroneous beliefs are based in fear. Therefore, all negative emotions are also based in fear. And that comes from actually a channeling of Mother Mary from Jean Hatch. And it also includes the concept that you should accept all as perfection as it is, and then use your power of choice to create the reality you prefer. And this whole concept of utilizing a witness can also be used with things like negative emotion. So at first you just become aware of it, and definitely you don't want to be stuffing negative emotion. And I think a lot of that probably comes from childhood issues where maybe certain behaviors weren't really condoned by your initial caregivers. And so thus, in order to get along, to go along, let's say, you alter your behavior or stuff certain types of issues and emotions. And certainly, as those come up, you know, you definitely want to deal with them rather than stuff them. But at the same time, I don't think you just give free rein to them either and just say, well, it's all just, you know, really peachy and keen, whatever it was that you're stuffing. I mean, you want to deal with it, throw light on it, integrate it, and make it part of your spiritual journey. And especially if you're aware that negative emotions are not in alignment with your higher self. So in that light, you can utilize this concept of witness, developing a witness or an awareness, a presence, kind of like a candle flame or your center. And that center, like a candle flame, if it blows out, then you lose your peace or you lose your center. In fact, in the Gurdjieff and Ouspensky systems, a byproduct of this is developing what they call deputy steward. Deputy steward is a place in you that's really organizes everything in your life to be in harmony with your spiritual goals. And thus, in time, what happens is that becomes subject and everything else becomes object. And then when that subject becomes object, that's when you go through the doorway and realize your true self. So that would be the process. Now, in looking at that concept, I think it's also worth noting the whole idea here about personality, because personality is kind of like at the highest level, you are one with your higher self. A portion of your higher self fragments off, becomes an incarnation in this physical experience, somewhat analogous to a deep sea diver being in the higher self and then putting on snorkel gear and goggles and all the equipment needed to explore the depths of the ocean. And sort of like the artificial construct, which is your personality, basically is that gear so that you can explore the depths of this density. And as I understand it, most of our personality construct is at the alpha brain level. And also in connection with that concept is one of Bashar's, in that the there are only two objective facts. One is that the universe was created with unconditional love, and the second one being that you have awareness. The rest of it's totally subjective. So I wanted to bring those concepts up because I find them very useful in my life in terms of dealing with issues. And I think sometimes it's hard for me to relate to the concept of stuffing emotions, because if I have something that's bothering me, I try to deal with it right away. And so thus, I don't really have a suitcase full of baggage that's what I would call negative emotion that I've stuffed, because I just deal with it. I mean, if something's on my mind, that I bring it up right away and I go talk to the people that I need to talk to help solve it, or try to get throw light on a certain situation. And this also relates to the concept about victimhood. Because when someone or some species, for example, plays the role of victimizer, it's because you gave your power away. And once you take 100% responsibility for your experience in life, then they do not have power over you anymore. And ironically, the bad guys disappear. They just go away. And developing a witness is also can be a key thing in terms of judgment. Because judgment is basically what gets us into all the problems. Totally invalidating someone is not really, too cool. You can realize that you dislike a behavior, but try not to dislike who the person really is. And thus, you need to keep in mind who you really are at the same time. Judgment is one of those things that nobody from the outside ultimately is going to be judging you. You're going to be your own judge. And interestingly enough, when you really invalidate or judge something else, it creates a polarity, so thus puts you out of harmony with your higher self. So as you judge, it binds you to what it is you're judging. And the fact is that most things really aren't our business to be judgmental about. And that could probably be a topic for a whole show, and likely I may do one on that. I now want to start getting into some other issues that related to our conversations and discussions about connecting with Atlantis. And it's been said that about 70% of the current population had previous incarnations in Atlantis. And interesting, we've made some connections with the crystals, because that was a huge part of Atlantean life. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about some the Andara crystal. But before I do that, I wanted to make the connection with Jill's Wings of Light and related to music's effect on humanity and consciousness. And even writings from Rudolf Steiner discussed the musical system of the ancient Lemurians and the Atlanteans. The earlier civilization, the Lemurians, listened to a descending musical scale in which the smallest distance between adjacent tones was equivalent to 9 of our notes. And this music was connected the listener with the divine. And later, the Atlanteans claimed to enjoy a descending musical scale with its notes closer together, yet neighboring notes still represented 7 of our musical notes. And the Atlantean music connected man to his own divine spirit. And in order to hear Lemurian or Atlantean music, one would need clairaudience, as few notes would be within our hearing range. The ancient Indian and Persian epochs boasted of a musical system built on the interval of 6 of our notes. Persian cosmetology mingled with writings about Zoroaster reflect that music escorted man towards a connection with the next lower hierarchy of spirit, the planetary logos, providing a spiritual experience. And control of music actually shifted to the Catholic Church in the Middle Ages. And initially, they adopted the Greek modes. They later dropped all but 2, renaming them major and minor. Music prior to this period was a series of ongoing tones. And then an amen was added on the end of Gregorian chants and church liturgy, creating the concept of a beginning and an ending. Interestingly, note that amen is an Anunnaki god, so they kind of slipped that one in on us. And interesting also is that rap music sounds a rhythmic series of the same note, a musical system of ones. So in conclusion on that, the musical systems throughout the ages reveal a pattern of frequencies becoming closer together as civilizations learn various lessons. And when a musical style stopped, the culture transitioned and was rebirthed with new music. And throughout the ages, man incarnated into matter and duality as the music descended, changed styles, and the space between the neighboring notes decreased from 9 of our notes to only 1. And I think it's also interesting to note that the Renaissance lasted several hundred years, and hundreds of years later, the emergence of rap music, representing the music of one interval. And if listening to frequencies closer together precedes separation from God, then reversing this process facilitates evolution and our journey back to the divine, and that should be a rapid journey. And listening to ancient musical patterns may expand our consciousness and spirituality, and perhaps leading to increased awareness, including that of the divine. And I should note that Bashar brings up an interesting point that in Beethoven's Seventh Symphony, second movement, and you can find it on YouTube. That's Beethoven's Seventh Symphony, second movement. There's about a 3-minute section there that Bashar claims is a download from higher consciousness, and it basically helps people heal. It allows for allowing and letting go. And according to Bashar, many of our desires are trying to reach us, but are unable to. And because of our incongruent frequencies of not allowing, and many of the things that we say we don't like in our life are trying their hardest to get away from us, but we're clinging to them. So this is definitely something that you can just play the music, let it wash over you. And I know people that have made clips of it to play it at night. Very interesting technique. And also in connecting, again, with these Andara crystals, which I think are just absolutely, the most amazing thing I've ever come across in terms of a spiritual tool. And we really need to rethink what we define as alive, especially in terms of consciousness, because I think that if we really think about something alive, that it would have consciousness, it needs to be awake, it needs to be able to perceive, and it needs to be able to think. And the fact is that these crystals are alive, they have consciousness, they are aware, and they can perceive and think. Crystals are living beings, and crystals are connected to the cluster from which the crystal came from, and the cluster of crystals is one organism. And interesting, if you go to YouTube under Teal Swan crystals, interesting information about fluorite as well, that she claims that cancer has a very rapid non-cohesive pattern or frequency, and fluorite has a very coherent and grounding frequency. And two incoherent frequencies cannot exist in the same space because it is not an energetic match. Arthritis and cancer, for example, will have to change its frequency to that of the fluorite, and then the manifestation will also change. Thus, the ailment must cease to exist. Physical reality must match the energetic reality which is creating it. Crystals and gemstones are free of resistant patterns. When you touch or look at crystals, you are in training energetically with the crystal on the other dimensions in which you and the crystal exist, and this changes your physicality and structure in the physical dimension. When you share space with a crystal which has a resistant free vibration, which these Andara crystals do, your energy will entrain with that of the crystal. And I know people would have you believe that you're personifying an inanimate object, but the fact is you can't possess a crystal any more than you can possess a human being. They are where they are for a purpose. And these Andara crystals actually pick you to work with them, even though you think you're picking them. And by placing a crystal under your pillow at night, When you're in a state of non-resistance, you will entrain with the frequency of the crystal more easily. And most people immediately start to remember their dreams, and even if normally they do not. And I would also like to refer our listeners to Erica Rock, R-O-C-K, and her article, actually it's a YouTube, on Monatomic Andara Crystals with Erica Rock and Asha Ramakrishna. That's Monatomic Andara Crystals with Erica Rock and Asha Ramakrishna. And she states that Andara crystals are new and are here to help with the shift and awakening. They were found in a field of ethereum, or white powder, which contains monatomics. They create a direct link to source energy. They have an extremely high electron spin rate, which elevates consciousness and increases your vibration. And the time between conscious thought and physical manifestation decreases. And you can insert your intentions into the stones. They are sort of the next stage of evolution. They are totally magical. They help open you up so you are receptive to receive what you truly want. They help you to melt away discordant energies. And I think that's the key one right there, is that sometimes when we're trying to do reality creation, we have these discordant energies. For example, especially the discordant energy that you don't have what it is you want, so you can't be a perfect match to it. But if you can, these things help you melt away these discordant energies, which helps you with your reality creation. And you might also want to go to a YouTube called Initiation in the Atlantean Pyramid. And that is a meditation. And during this meditation, you actually receive a crystal, which helps you remember who you were in Atlantis and how that's relevant today. The supply, by the way, of Andara crystals is becoming depleted, but you can also access the energy right through the picture of our Andara crystals, and there are also decks of 44 Andara cards available from Erica Rock, and they're very helpful to people in becoming more self-empowered. And I like the fact that she makes this statement that they are master beings in stone form and completely unlimited. They are helping us realize who we are. And they're very helpful in assisting us to be fully conscious, healthy, and abundant human beings. And that's why I'm making the ET Yoga audience aware of their existence, because it's what I wish for all of you at the end of each program. And interestingly enough, you don't work with the Andaras, they work with you. And ease and grace is the name of the game. And information further supporting these amazing Andara crystals comes from a channeling of Thoth, that the Andara crystals, while not containing black holes themselves, do resonate with the sentience of the Ancient of Days that had been absorbed into their hyperfield. Understand that there is a sentience within the Ancient of Days Omega crystal. This sentience is more ancient than your comprehension could possibly accept, other than to call it eternal. Like Merlin in his magic cave, this sentience has been frozen in your time-space. The sentience in the Ancient of Days is an enlightened source of consciousness, and it comes from the galaxy of Andromeda, and it was drawn into the hyperfield by the tremendous warping zone that occurred when the third and sixth dimensions touched, or more aptly, collided. And he says that we need to qualify here that only the outer fields of these two dimensions collided, not their true nests or inner fields. And while the Andara crystals do not contain black holes, they do contain blue needles, which are small interdimensional vectors moving through space-time, which tunnel into various continuums. And this occurs as a result of the kinesthetic continuum already in place within the Andara crystals, and thus Andara crystal glass. Blue needles can be found in other types of crystals as well. The Andara crystals were formed inside a no-time hyperfield, creating within them a kinesthetic continuum. This is a continuum that allows a moving time field within the elemental and structural composition of the crystal formation. And that's from Thoth. So amazing, 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 these Andara crystals. And I now want to turn attention to some really blockbuster information that I came across from a recent YouTube, Alex Collier, 2015. If you're not familiar with Alex, he's an Andromeda contactee. And I don't know, in my vision, there's definitely truth in the fact that there was something interesting happening from the center of our galaxy that's going to cause all the dimensions to move up a level. That part to me is kind of a given. It's also kind of a given to me that the Earth frequency, or Schumann resonance as it's commonly called, used to be 7.8 hertz. I've heard people talk about 12. Greg Braden even talks about the Schumann frequency as being at 12. I mean, think about it. For how many hundreds of thousands of years, it's been 7.83, and all of a sudden it's like 12. Now I'm getting other scientists that are saying it's like 16 or so. Alex Collier is coming out, and he's saying that the harmonics of the planet is rising, and it's just going absolutely bananas. According to Alex Collier, it's now over 30. And at some point, this will activate DNA, and this is the Schumann frequency, which used to be 7.83 hertz. And humanity's vibration is also rising, and in the middle are what he calls the regressives. And their space of influence is getting smaller and smaller, and the entire process is accelerating quickly. And according to the Andromedans, of 22 other planets going through what we are here, with this Orion consortium, they have freed themselves, and the remainder still have issues like we do. But that's pretty encouraging that only in the last couple of years, 22 other planets going through what we're going through here, which is basically an indirect control of our planet by this Orion consortium, you know, composed of Orions, Alpha Draconians, Greys, etc. So we're in the middle of a new dimension being created. And also interesting to note that if the Earth's vibration is at 16.5, it's part of a series of 16.5, 33, 66, 132, 264, which are all harmonics to the solfeggio tone 528, which is what is used by genetic biochemists to repair human DNA. So the genetic blueprint upon which life is based, that's what this is, it would suggest that our DNA is being repaired right now. And the Earth is kickstarting our DNA and reactivating it in order that we can keep pace with the Earth's transition into this new dimension. And also in support of this, I did find a channeling of Archangel Michael through Michael Love, and I quote, "As we have entered the densest area of the photon belt, the power of wave X is increasing each hour and each day. This great point in humanity's evolution, known as the event horizon," and he calls that September 28th, 2015, "marked the highest energetic frequency ever measured in the cosmos in modern history. The Schumann resonance of the Earth and the entire cosmos has reached an astounding level of 33 hertz, which is consistent with what Alex Collier is hearing from the Andromedans. And it is proven that gamma light can instantaneously evolve the DNA of any species into its higher form. You are literally evolving quickly now. So the suggestion is to shift your consciousness into the reality of the Earth frequency. It's that simple. And that would include, let's say, techniques such as grounding. So, for example, I know I've taught many times on ET Yoga the pillar of light technique. I'm not going to go into the pillar part right now, but just the grounding part where you visualize a silver-blue cord connecting to your base chakra, sending it down to the center of the Earth and grounding you in the higher frequencies in the center of the Earth. And this would be a very simple technique and ground you to what's turning out to be a very high frequency. Should also note that in that particular transmission, Alex also mentioned that the energetic frequency fence, which has imprisoned souls from going back to source after death, because that energy has been operated by the Archons, it's also being dealt with and making it possible to escape the Anunnaki recycling chambers. And I think that's it's really important that there's definitely lots of changes taking place on the Earth as we speak. And I also like the take on all of this that I get from Michelle Walling at CosmicStarseeds.com. And her take is that Earth already exists in a fifth dimensional frequency, and since we're all connected to move to one consciousness or another, thus required a collective intention. And what we have been doing since the harmonic convergence of 1987 and the checkpoint of December 21st, 2012 is shifting timelines based on collective intentions to move out of this twisted time stream of separation into one of harmonized vibrational love. And in December of 2012, humanity anchored a new positive timeline onto the planet, which would be available for those who consciously choose to bring it into reality in the upcoming years. And in order to gently push people into accepting this timeline, the polarity continued to become extreme on the planet. This extreme polarity caused more humans to reflect on what they did not want to experience anymore. And those who were aware of what was occurring worked towards manifesting a new timeline by clearing themselves of negative energies and toxic situations in their lives. And this made the space for higher vibrational energies to be anchored within their bodies and therefore to be anchored into the planet. Not all humans are capable of moving their consciousness through the fourth dimensional astral realm and into the fifth dimensional frequencies at this time. Most people on the planet are experiencing fear-based energies, which are imposed through societal programming and fourth dimensional astral entities who are trying to keep as many people as possible within their grasp of interaction. If people were to carry fear with them into the astral planes, their worst nightmares would manifest in their reality. As more people continue to wake up and work on releasing their fear energies, they will continue to raise their vibration and tune into the fourth and fifth dimensional frequencies. 2015 will be a bittersweet victory filled with triumph as well as defeat to the extreme. It will be party central for those who learn to manifest new realities, and it'll be a pure hell for those who choose not to come to the party. What happens in the years beyond 2016 on Earth will be up to the creators in human bodies that are playing the game of life. Let's intend that those who wish to choose a new way of having a human physical experience on Earth do so with the power of love and compassion, which will catapult the collective swiftly into a new way of sovereign living. And I think that's a pretty good synopsis of kind of what's going on. And I really I thank those people for making that information available to us. And I'd also wanted to share a comment from Teal Swan that if you want a new world, accept the world as it currently is. Until you find acceptance, nothing new can become. All you perpetuate when you resist the now is the past, because now is nothing more than the past in manifested form. And by resisting the now, you hold the past as your object of attention. And when you hold the past as your object of attention, the past is all that can come. Interesting, interesting comment. And also very consistent with a lot of the information that I hope I'm trying to present on ET Yoga. So kind of in summary, summary of some of these concepts we're talking about tonight is certainly our connections with Atlantis. I do see that many things are a replay of Atlantean times. It seems that the same forces of positive and negative are playing it out, only this time, apparently, we got a lot of help from our friends. And this is, as I recall, I think this is the sixth or seventh time that humanity has reached this point. And each time in the past, we've found a way to self-destruct. But this time, we're going through the doorway. So it should be a very, very interesting ride with lots of amazing things coming up, including one of Bashar's predictions that I think is going to be happening probably by the end of next year, and that is that everybody on the planet's going to be aware of the presence of extraterrestrial life. And I think this is going to be really cool because, you know, I've done ET yoga for a lot of years, and there are people, you know, I run into that, you know, kind of roll their eyeballs even when they hear about the name of my show, ET yoga. Gee, you know, ET. And it's going to be kind of nice, to be honest, to kind of do the show when everybody else really starts cluing in to the fact that extraterrestrials have been here and that we're from out there as well. And the cool connection of ET and yoga comes from the fact that what I noticed years ago, basically my backgrounds with Baba Ram Das and Sri Swami Satchidananda and Paramahansa Yogananda and Sri Ramana Maharshi, and what I've learned over the years is that much of this really positive ET information is very self-empowering, and it does help us to become who we are, which is self-realized. And so to me, there's just a natural connection between ET and yoga. And although people sometimes ask, well, how can you do yoga on radio? Well, yoga means you and you becoming your higher self. It's a concept. It's not a physical activity. Yes, Hatha Yoga is a branch of yoga. And clearly the goal of yoga is self-realization. It's not just, you know, about health issues or doing the Hatha. And this is something that many people in the West don't seem to realize, that what the true nature of yoga is. And it's all about spirituality. And spirituality is your connection with higher self and spirit. So that's why I'm doing ET yoga. And at this point, I would like to, as usual, give my best wishes towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance, and close the show this evening by sharing with you the Who Am I technique, which relates to this whole concept of Deputy Steward, where there's a place in you that everything else is in harmony with your spiritual goals, and that subject becomes you or your main personality, and then that everything else becomes object, and eventually that subject becomes object. And how would that happen? When you go through the doorway and the Who Am I technique, or the Vichara, as taught by Sri Ramana Maharshi, is one method that can occur. So my suggestion would be to get yourself as really comfortable as possible, to do some big deep breaths. The ideal scenario would be to, in your spare time, if you do some yoga practices, is to do your Hatha yoga and neutralize the body, and do your pranayams, breathing exercises, neutralize your thinking process quite a bit, because you'll notice that there is a direct correlation between breathing and thoughts. And then get into placing as much of your consciousness as possible in your third eye area and focus on a spot there. So all your consciousness is placed in your third eye on a particular spot. And then I would repeat the question of who am I, maybe 30, 40 times, and focusing that question in the third eye area. And then what was always been effective for me is then to go from that to stating the following, that I am not my body, that I am not my internal organs, I am not my thoughts, I am not this spot. What spot?
I'd like to share with you the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation. First, you need to get really relaxed, either lying down or sitting comfortably or even standing up, whatever is the most comfortable for you. I then suggest taking a couple of deep breaths and imagine yourself in your perfect place of peace. You haven't a worry in the world, and are just relaxing in your perfect place of peace. Then imagine the following. Around the area of your heart or solar plexus, just behind that area, is a bright ball of white light. It is a packet of energy that is your essence. This star that you feel inside yourself, this ball of light, now grows and grows and grows in intensity and gets stronger and stronger and stronger until it bursts forth as a beam of light, a laser-like beam bursting out of the front of you and stretches as far as you can imagine infinity to be. Stretching, stretching out as a beam of light beyond the solar system, beyond the Milky Way galaxy, and beyond, going faster and faster and faster all the way to infinity. But it is also elastic, so as it reaches infinity, it slows down and will stop and turn around, and as a solid beam, it will creep back towards you from the far reaches of infinity, faster and faster and faster and faster and faster until it comes crashing through the center of your body and through you and out your back and all the way to infinity out the back, all the way out, further, further, until it reaches infinity, and it returns, but a little faster now. And faster and faster and faster until it too crashes through you, out the front, all the way to infinity. But it returns even faster now, out the back and out the front, and out the back and out the front, and out the back and out the front, and out the back and out the front. Back and forth, 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 back and forth. And out the front and out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And let yourself get used to this idea. And then when it gets right in the middle of your body, it crashes out the left side all the way to infinity, and back out the right side all the way to infinity, and turns and comes back through the center, out the left side, and back out the right side, and side to side, and side to side, and front and back, 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 until you get used to the idea. And then you have created an X and Y axis. Now another beam goes crashing through your head up all the way to infinity and turns around and comes crashing back through your head and out the bottom and up and down 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 and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side. And it begins to build, 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 and builds to build until an infinite number of rays fly out simultaneously to infinity and stay there. You are suspended on beams of light, and you are stabilized at infinity. You hang there for eternity at infinity. Then you start to notice little bits of pulses, symbols, and signals, like a web that you are in the center of. Bits of information coming and going from every dimension and every space and time that exists. Every doorway and every gateway and forms and ideas and messages and communications like a giant matrix. You feel the ebb and flow of the infinite possibilities from every space and time, from front and back and side to side and up and down, clickety-clack, 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 clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clack. Clickety-clack. Now send out one large pulse on every line outward and receive one large pulse coming back like a heartbeat. Boom, 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 boom. And now you're starting to sense a larger infinite mass mind behind this heartbeat, this pulse. It's like a gigantic awareness, one soul, one mind. You are suspended in the center of eternity. Boom, 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 boom. Now, with every heartbeat, a new breath, a new awareness, a new perspective, a new experience, a new sensation, a new dimension, a new galaxy, forever, forever, new, new, new. And now all the beams expand until you are surrounded in a sea of light that is becoming more transparent until it is like a bubble, but you can still hear it. Boom, 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 boom. You can feel the seed of all that is, and as the blood flows from your own heart, as the seed of the infinite of all that is, on that pulse, you are connected from every direction and any direction simultaneously. And every time you remember your heartbeat, you will feel connected to this heartbeat. Be in your perfect place of peace and feel your heartbeat. Now, take a deep breath and feel refreshed, feel loved, and feel energized.
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all.